Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
This episode is being brought to you by Howard. Howard, who emailed us.
I forgot about that.
He emailed me probably 2 or 3 weeks ago and was like, are you ever going to finish season 3? You ever going to record another episode? There's people
literally
out here waiting.
The one.
One episode left of season 3. And I wrote him back and I said, you know what, Howard? Yes, we are. I just don't know when. And then we were going to do it that very weekend. And then we got sidetracked.
I got work.
And then, yes, you do work a lot on the weekends. And then we were going to do it yesterday.
And I had work.
And you got called in early to work. But we're doing it now. We made time to do it now. So thank you, Howard, for
the reminder.
For the reminder that it's been a while and we need to finish season 3. So my name is Jane.
I'm Libby, if you forgot.
And this is Psych You Out, everybody's favorite podcast all about their favorite comedy crime show.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And tonight, well, today, whatever time.
Whenever you listen to this.
Yes. It could be first thing in the morning you're listening to this. But right now, we're going to talk about season 3, episode 16, the season finale.
And it's called?
I don't remember.
I don't either.
It's something about Mr. Yang. My evening with Mr. Yang.
Is that supposed to be like my dinner with Andre?
That's what I thought. Okay. That's exactly what went to my head as my dinner with Andre, which is a terrible movie from the 1980s.
All I can remember is Community.
Yes, I figured that would be the case. But yeah, My Dinner with Andre was this terrible movie about two guys who literally get together and talk. And one of them tells this outlandish story about something that happened.
But if it's Community,
funny
it's
on
about
Community. Yes, funny on Community. Yes. Okay, so this episode came out in February of 2009. So it's...
I was born.
You were at least born, yes. But that was, you know, a long time ago that this show came out. 2009.
I was 6.
What's funny is we were living here
mm-hmm.
when it started. And we've been here for
ever.
18 years. Is that right? 18 years? Yeah. But I feel like the show was on before we moved here. But anyway, I digress. So
it's been on for a while.
The episode is My Evening with Mr. Yang. It came out in February of 2009. It was written by Andy Berman and James Roday Rodriguez. Director was Mel Damsky. Andy Berman, of course, I always say is the guy who got booted off the table in the speed dating episode.
Right.
So, this one opens with Adult Sean. It's one of the few that doesn't open with a...
I didn't even realize that it didn't...
Yeah, it opened with an Adult Sean. That's the very first note I wrote was Adult Sean, all in capital letters.
I think it's because there's not... Like, normally when they have, like, young Sean, it's because there's some sort of, like...
Lesson
that he's learning as a kid that he then uses as an adult. But in this episode, there's not really... A lesson.
They were setting up a character that was a major plot point of the episode. So Sean and Gus are at an outdoor cafe having lunch or breakfast in Sean's case.
Brunch.
He specifically wanted breakfast for lunch, which I can get behind.
I can get behind breakfast for dinner.
I thought you didn't like breakfast for dinner.
Now, what lies are you telling?
Because whenever I say, who wants pancakes for dinner or who wants French toast?
Because pancakes are gross and French toast are... You just have terrible options. I will take waffles. I will take literally any other breakfast food. Cereal. But pancakes? No.
I actually made pancakes this week. I'm going to tell them myself. So I made pancakes on Saturday morning? Sunday morning? I can't remember which morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not a fan of pancakes either. But for some reason, I was like, you know what? I could go for some pancakes. So I mix it up. And it's even as I'm mixing up the batter, I'm like, this isn't right.
Yeah.
It's solidifying too fast. Like, I kept having to add milk.
Yeah.
Because, I'd walk away to grab and butter out of the fridge. And it was already thick
as
molasses.
Did you mix something wrong?
No, I didn't. So I made silver dollar pancakes.
Uh-huh.
They all looked weird as they cooked. And, you know, I hate pancakes that look weird.
Yeah.
They all looked like the first batch.
Yeah.
Like, even the last batch looked like that nasty first batch that always gets made in the pan. And then I noticed they weren't rising. They were not fluffy at all. They were
old mix.
Well, that's the thing. So I ate two of the silver dollars and I was like, this is disgusting. I even texted your father and I said, the pancakes are terrible, because he was going to the gym as I was making them. And when he got home, I was like, yeah, you know, they were really bad and I could only eat two of them and I hope I don't get sick later. He's like, well, did you check the box? You know, I won't say the manufacturer name. I mean, you kind of already did. Did you check the box? And I said, no. And he pulled it out and he goes, yeah, this expired in July of 2021.
Oh, nice.
And I said, that shows you how little we make pancakes around here.
Yeah.
Because I don't like them. They're gross. You don't like them. Yeah. But you can use that to make waffles, too. But we haven't made waffles in forever either. Because
we never have breakfast for dinner.
I have cereal for dinner a lot.
That's cereal, though.
But it's breakfast.
That's true. Listen, I'll take a good bowl of cereal, but I don't know. We don't really make things. It's just sort of pour this in a bowl, add milk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So anyway, so back to the show.
Back to the actual thing that we're here for.
My admitting that our stuff in our pantry might be a little dated. So they want to have breakfast for lunch. And so Sean is flirting with a waitress. And he's, you know, just having a field day flirting with her and trying to guess what she's all about and everything. And she's flirting back. And Gus had stepped away. And when he came back, he's like, are you getting your flirt on again? Seriously? And Sean's like, what are you talking about? And Sean's like, you'll flirt with anybody. You flirt with the 80-year-old at Fuddruckers, which cracked me up because Fuddruckers, are they even still around? They are, but
I don't know what it is.
It's a burger place that used to be great, and then at some point they weren't great. And I feel like there's one here in our area, like somewhere in a 60-mile radius, but I can't imagine that it would be any good.
Probably not.
Yeah. So anyway, so Gus is like, you'll flirt with anybody. And Sean says, all right, Hitch. Did you get that joke?
No.
That is the Will Smith movie, Hitch, where he's the guy that sets up Kevin James on dates.
Yeah.
He's like a matchmaker.
I've never watched it.
But you know it.
No.
Really? That's like a classic.
Clearly, it's not classic enough.
People love Hitch.
Oh, well. Not enough to talk about it.
Email us if you like Hitch. It was at psychyoutpodcast@gmail.com.
Also, you have to think about, I'm not exactly like...
That's not your genre.
Yeah.
Nobody's getting killed.
True. I'll go for a good action...
Horror, thriller.
Yeah.
Murder mystery.
But not send not somebody a, up on a, dates.
Not a rom-com.
No.
All right, so he goes, all right, Hitch. We are still in the opening scene.
Hey, that's Olivia. All right.
We're 8 minutes in.
We're good. Keep going. Okay. We'll talk about pancakes. We'll talk about movies.
So Sean decides, you know what, Gus? Watch this. And he picks up his phone and he calls Abigail.
Yep.
Which you'll recall was from the high school reunion episode.
Yep.
And it was like an old high school girl that he...
Had a crush on. And I believe that the way that that episode had ended was Sean being like, oh, yeah, because they were going to go on a date on the pier or whatever. And he missed that.
Right.
So she, I think it was while she was on the phone, was like, you're not going to ditch me again.
Right.
So.
Right. And so he basically says, I'm calling to ask you out on a real date. And she surprisingly accepts. She's like, okay, let's give this a shot.
Yep.
So then at that point, the guys are, they get a call from the police station.
From Vic.
From G. Vic, yes. And it turns out that there's a serial killer.
Hey!
Who has returned after, like, not being around for several years. Apparently, they come in, they kill, and then they disappear for a while, and then they come back and kill one person.
Yeah, they leave clues to mess with whoever they decide to mess with.
Right, like riddles and stuff.
Yeah.
And they have to be solved in a certain amount of time.
Yep.
And so, in this case, the letter that they got from the Yin Yang killer specified that they want Sean to help solve
the riddles.
And that's the end of the opening scene.
Yep.
We're 10 minutes in.
Hey, that's all right.
So they read the riddle. Let's say, Sean, you're involved. And then Sean's like, oh, it's easy. It's that guy over there. He's the one. And the camera pans over to a guy sitting at a desk. And his name is Mary. And he's the police profiler. And I recognized him when he stood up. I don't know what I recognize him from. I didn't look up his IMDb. But Amazon, which is what we use to watch the episode, when you click into his profile, his name is Jimmy Simpson. And he's been on Westworld, which I watched like one season of.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia,
which I watched a good amount of. I think I know which character he is, but I don't remember the name of the character exactly.
He was also in Black Mirror, which I only watched one season of. Like that special season.
Yeah.
It was interactive. I don't know if he was on that season or not.
Well, that wasn't even a season. That's just a one thing. But as far as I'm aware, because I've watched the Black Mirror show, he wasn't in any of the episodes that I had watched, but I also didn't get very far into that show in the first place.
But he's a character actor. Like, I definitely recognized him.
Yeah, he's definitely been in a lot of things.
Yeah, so Amazon just showed, like, his top four. I'm sure if I were to look at his IMDb, I'd be, that's what I actually saw the guy on.
And I'm almost certain that he shows up a couple, like, multiple times in Psych.
Well, it makes sense since they're introducing him as a police profiler.
Yeah.
That he would show up again.
But he's also somebody who's, like, he's not a character that's going to be recurring in every episode. Right. It's just, like, once every so often he shows up.
All right, so he is there to kind of explain the background of Mr. Yang and what he does. And basically, he says that he challenges him with these riddles that have to be solved in a certain amount of time. And they now have an hour and 10 minutes to solve the riddle that they just got and save the latest victim. And then while that's going on, and Sean's kind of making jokes and trying to defuse the situation, Henry storms into Vic's office and is like, my son is absolutely 100% not working on this. This is where I draw the line.
Yeah.
I was here when we dealt with all this before. You're not letting my son work on it. And Vic says, no, he is going to work on it. He's the one we're relying on the most.
Yeah.
And Henry is not happy. So then Henry storms over to Sean, pulls him out of the room, and is like, you're not working on this case. And Sean's like, I'm not a kid anymore.
Yeah.
In fact, what he says is, I'm not 27 anymore. You can't tell me what to do. But Sean puts his foot down. He's like, Dad, they need my help, and I'm going to help them. And Henry was not happy.
See, so what I want to know is, how did Henry find out that Sean was involved in this case? Because I'm assuming they've only just now found out about it. And unless they're talking about it on police scanners or whatever, I don't think that...
Well, and also could be somebody he worked with back in the day called him and said, hey, the serial killer popped up again.
Yeah, but do you really think that the police station would be, like, lending that information out to...
No. Well, maybe Henry, because he worked on the cases before.
And I still unsolved. Don't think that...
Yeah, no, I totally agree that it was a push to have Henry show up and whatever. But what Henry says is, look, you know, this guy will go after the people you love, and he knows you.
Yeah.
And he's going to go after the people that you care about. And Sean's like, I've got this. You know, I've got to play along.
I can handle it.
All right, well, I'm keeping tabs on the clock, everybody. And the reason why is because we've got a lot to get to. So we're going to take a break on that one, even though we're still only in the first, like, 10 minutes of the show. 10 minutes of the show, not our episode.
Yeah.
Our podcast episode. But Olivia, normally she'll give us a recommendation. For a while we were doing trivia, then she was giving us recommendations, and she said that tonight she wants to go back to trivia.
Yes, I have requested a change in pace, so I'm guessing we'll just do, like, 5 or 6.
I think I accidentally picked holiday trivia. I didn't mean to pick holiday trivia. That's just
I don't think I'm going to be able to do holiday trivia.
Oh, no. Here we go. I scrolled down too far. There's apparently different categories.
Hmm.
All right. So
what category of trivia are we doing?
I'm looking. Sorry. I got to scroll. How far up? How far down did I scroll?
Just... Go on the side and hit the scroll bar and bring it up to the top. That's so much easier.
I tried that.
You sure?
I did. I can't see.
Maybe we need better lighting in here.
Movie trivia. That's what I wanted. Okay. Oh. All right. We are going to do movie trivia.
Movies.
We may have asked some of these before now that I'm looking at these questions. But you know what? It's been a couple years.
We'll see.
We'll see if you've retained any of the information.
We'll see with the new movies that I've watched since then.
That's right. Well, let's start with a classic movie.
Alrighty.
What was Disney's first color movie called? Their first color film. Came out in 1937.
All right.
It's famous.
I know Fantasia is one of their earlier ones that was in color. I don't know any other. I mean, I know. Well, I don't know when Snow White was. I'm going to go with Snow White, but I don't know when.
That was correct. Snow White. Good job.
I was like, it has to either be a princess movie or something else like Mickey Mouse related.
What is Batman's hometown's name?
Gotham.
I knew you'd know that one.
Yes.
Who's famous for saying, I'll be back?
Well, do you want Terminator or do you want Arnold?
Either, both.
Both.
Yep, Terminator, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. What movie is the song Let It Go?
Frozen. I feel like these are little gimme ones.
Who played Katniss Everdeen?
I just lost her name. Jennifer Lawrence.
What do you mean? What do you mean? I love that meme.
I don't know what you're
What do you mean? It's from when she was on Hot Ones. Uh-huh. And she was getting to a point where she was all teary and everything. And he says something and she's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? While she's trying to sniff through the tears from the peppers.
Is it him talking about that last hot sauce that he has that's like a whole different color and he has to shake it?
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, well,
all I know is that the quote is her going, what do you mean? What do you mean? In The Shining, what is the name of the haunted hotel? You've seen The Shining, right?
I have. But it's been a while. And I didn't like that movie a whole lot. I'm sure that's a controversial opinion.
No, there are people that hate it.
Okay. I don't know.
The Overlook.
Because it's...
You'd have to really like that movie to know that one. In The Matrix, which of the two pills does Neo choose when presented with a blue and a red pill? Which two
pills?
It's
a 50-50 shot? I'm going with blue.
No, he picked the red pill. Oh. Who is Riley's imaginary friend in Inside Out?
It's the elephant looking guy.
Uh-huh.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
I'm surprised
you got that too. I love that movie, but I never would have remembered.
I think the only reason that I got it is because I'm like, child, probably just did some sort of repetition. And for whatever reason in my head, like, I do this pretty often actually at work, specifically whenever the phone rings, I'll say ring ring or just some version of that.
You don't do Jungkook's ding dong.
I do. No. Know that?
Oh, that's right, you don't follow BTS like I do.
No, I don't.
Ding dong.
No, but in my head just now, I literally in my head did bing bong, like, just, I don't know.
That scene is so sad when he's down in the thing and he starts to disappear. Sorry, spoilers, everyone.
For a movie that came out years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
They're making a second one.
Fair warning. Yes, they are. I'm excited for it.
I am as well.
In which Alfred Hitchcock film is the famous shower scene featured?
Psycho.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think you'll get that one. But I'll ask it anyway. Have you seen... Well, no, that's the answer. I was just going to ask you, have you seen this movie? But that's the answer to the question.
Well, let's find out.
In which 1976 thriller did Robert De Niro give the iconic line, you talking to me?
Isn't that Taxi Driver?
Yes.
I have not seen that movie, but it's a famous quote. Plus, yeah. I do want to watch it. It's on my Letterboxd list.
What director is responsible for Inception, Interstellar...
Christopher Nolan.
Tenet. And The Dark. Have you seen The Dark?
I have not.
Never even heard of The Dark. We'll have to add it to our list because we try to watch all those movies.
I hope you've been keeping count of the amount of questions.
I have not.
I have not either. Get in the comments, people.
Sorry. We'll add them up at the end. Yeah, some of these are repeats. What's the name of the dog in Wizard of Oz?
Toto.
Yes. Do you know the name of the dog? That played Toto?
No.
No, nobody does. It's Terry, in case you're wondering. This is crazy. How many films has Angelina Jolie... That's got to be a typo. How many films has Angelina Jolie directed?
Directed?
Directed.
I feel like she directed... Well, did she direct Maleficent? I feel like she directed Maleficent. And then I'm pretty... was there a sequel to that movie?
There were a couple of Maleficents, yeah.
All right, so that's at least two, possibly three. Question is, what else? Could she have done Tomb Raider? Because I know she was at least in that, but I don't think she would have directed it.
I'll tell you this, it's more than 10.
Oh, I was not going to get that one.
I'll tell you this, it's more than 20.
Oh, definitely think that one's a typo.
More than 30.
I feel like this is... Major typo.
Yeah, the name said Angelina Jolie.
Julie?
J-U-L-I-E.
So maybe it's not Jolie. Maybe it's literally a different person.
Let's look this one up too. It says she's directed 47 movies.
Who is this woman?
If it is Angelina Jolie, we know why we've not seen her lately.
Because she's directing all the movies. She's
behind the camera instead of in front of the camera. Who? Okay, this is crazy. I'm not going to make you answer it.
All right.
Name three of the world's richest actresses. I'm curious to know when these trivia questions were created.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's obvious, Sandra Bullock. That makes total sense.
Uh-huh. But
Jessica Alba? Here's the thing. She owns, like, that Honest company. Like, that's her brand of selling, like, baby stuff. Are they rich because of acting? Or are they rich because they've dived into other things? Because the third actress is Jamie Hertz. Now, Jamie Hertz hasn't made a movie since Twister, I don't think.
Uh-huh.
She played the psychologist's girlfriend, Bill Paxton. But I do know that she is currently married to a dude that owns, like, a sports team that's worth, like, $2
billion.
Uh-huh. So, if they're counting that, then that makes sense why she's the richest actress. Or one of the three richest actresses. But I have to think, if you're only looking at money brought in from acting roles...
There's no way.
There's no way Jamie Hertz would be even near the top 50.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't... I feel like she hasn't made a movie since Twister.
I was going to say, once you read the question, my first thought was Scarlett Johansson, just because she's been in the Marvel movies.
Right. That would make sense.
After that, I got nobody. Like,
yeah, I would have picked Sandra Bullock, for sure, because her movies all do really, really well.
Amber Alert.
All right, everybody. Sorry about that. So Angelina Jolie, did you look her up?
Yes. Jolie, the actor, has directed 7 movies. The only one that I've even slightly heard of is a movie called Unbroken from 2014.
Yes, that's a great movie about Louis Pastorini. All right, well then, who's Angelina Jolie?
Now...
makes me suspect all of the trivia that we've just gone through.
According to Letterboxd, there's nobody.
Weird. Then maybe it didn't mean directed, maybe it means acted in.
Then let's...
Because she's been in a lot. All right, well, let's get back to the show. Because we're now at 25 minutes into this episode, and we're only in the beginning.
Acting-wise, she has done 76.
Okay, well, then this trivia is probably pretty old. That trivia is probably meant to be acted, not directed.
Anyways.
Going back to Psych.
The thing we're all here for, not movie trivia.
Sorry, we got really sidetracked. So Sean has been brought in. He's met Mary the Profiler, and he's working on trying to figure out the riddle.
Fortunately, and Henry has disapproved.
That's right. So fortunately, Sean figures out the riddle. It's related to cereal, and he realizes it has to do with the restaurant. Because he wanted breakfast at the restaurant. So they all run to the restaurant, only to find that waitress that Sean flirted with is missing. At the restaurant, there's that yin and yang symbol with another stopwatch and another riddle. And this time, they only have like 18 or 19 minutes.
Yeah, I never really... So I didn't really understand that each riddle had a different time. I thought it was each riddle, like, they all got started at the same time, and they all, as you go...
Oh, and now you've got 18 minutes left?
Yeah. It went from, like, a little over an hour to 18 minutes, and then the next one, I think, is, like, another hour or whatever. I'm right. Like, that doesn't... How? You yeah. had 18 minutes just before. That makes no sense.
Yeah. No, it's because each riddle had its own timer.
That makes more sense now.
Yeah. So he's left another riddle with another stopwatch, giving them, like we said, 18 or 19 minutes. But Sean very quickly does this riddle and realizes that they have to go back to the police station.
Yep.
So they go back to the police station, and when they get there, his mom is there because Henry has called her. She happens to be in town for a symposium or lecture or something. And she basically says, I agree with Henry that, you know, I think this is really dangerous. And Sean says he's got to do this. You know, he's going to wrap it up. He's got a date that night. And, of course,
it'll
she's
be
like,
easy,
he's got a date.
Easy.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not worried about it. And so Madeline says, you know what? You're absolutely right. You go, you do your thing and do a good job. So he meets up with the rest of the cops, and they found, like, this big wrapped-up package on the conference room table. And they unwrap it, and it's a white rat or mouse in a cage
yep.
with a riddle. And Sean quickly realizes that the riddle has to do with the...
I realize that we haven't been... Well, I think this is the first scene that it comes up. But specifically, Gus, for the entire episode, whenever Sean is, like, just sort of really in his head about stuff, Sean is like, Gus, I need you to pick up the... Like, make... jokes and that kind of stuff so that nobody is feeling just down and
right.
tense and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he did that at the restaurant. He was cracking jokes and Gus was like, why are you doing this? And Sean said, no, I need to do this so that I can lift the room. It's working. You know, everybody's, you know, they're all laughing. And Gus is like, I don't think they're laughing. And
they're
Sean's
laughing
like,
on
no,
the inside.
They're laughing on the inside. So when they get to the, and he says to Gus, I'm going to need your help. You need to do it too. So, yeah, so they uncover the mouse cage. Sean realizes that the riddle is talking about the newspaper in the bottom of the cage. And when he pulls it out, he immediately sees that a lot of the wannas that are in there relate to old cases.
Yeah, a lot of different fake names that they use.
Yeah. And so they are able to piece together those clues somehow and determine that the riddle is talking about a train. And so they go, they realize that there's a train that goes through Goleta, I think is what the sign said. Goleta.
Yeah.
And so they go there and they realize that the train's not going to stop. So Gus and Sean start chasing after it. And they find, and he's like, it's a, like our hobo fantasy.
Hobo fantasy.
Come true. And Gus is like, I never wanted to be a, never wanted to be a hobo. And so they're able to get onto this train. They find a bunch of Polaroid pictures laying on the floor with another stopwatch and the riddle. And so he figures out that the clue was sending them back to the boardwalk where they were that morning. And I turned to you because the way he figured it out was he put a bunch of the pictures together and
he flipped through it.
Flipped through it and it made like a little movie. And it was Gus throwing away his trash that morning.
Yep.
And I turned to you because I was like, you know, I was going to talk about that in the episode because at the beginning of the episode, as they're walking into the police station,
mm-hmm.
Gus is taking out a piece of gum. He's unwrapping it and he threw the wrapping paper in the trash as they were walking.
Yeah.
And my thought was, this show's amazing that they do little things like this where they even show Gus throwing away trash.
Yeah.
I had no idea that it was going to be called back to later on, but I was going to be super impressed. The level of detail turns out it was actually part of the episode, which kind of disappointed me. I wanted that to be like just a like that's amazing that he timed it to where he could throw the trash in the trash can. Not that it was part of the script. Disappointed.
There's something I was going to say just then about the pictures and I don't remember what it was anymore. I can't remember.
They were all just kind of not gibberish pictures, but they were all just like abstract close-up pictures of stuff.
I mean, there were pictures of Gus's hand.
His hand, yeah.
Did we talk about Mary running to the train as well?
Yeah. Yeah, at some point, Gus is like, there's got to be something to see. And Sean's like, oh, there's something to see, all right. And you look out the side of the train, and Mary was jogging, trying to catch up to see what was going on, which was highly suspect.
I was going to say, the first time I ever watched this episode, I'm like, so it's Mary, right?
I totally thought it was Mary the whole time. I'm like, you're totally sketchy.
Yeah.
You're calling out everything, and you even follow them on the train, just coincidentally. Like, what's the clues, fellas?
Yeah.
That's like, no, you're there because you need to know.
He's a weird guy.
Super creepy, yeah. Super creepy. So yeah, they realize they have to get back to the boardwalk by the psych office, which is where Gus threw that trash.
Yep.
So when they get and they have to listen out for a phone to ring, it's only going to ring 8 times or else the girl gets it.
Yep.
So they're on the boardwalk and he starts hearing the phone ring and he grabs it and he realizes, wait, this phone didn't start ringing until we got here.
Yeah.
Which means he's totally watching us.
Yep.
Right now. And rather than answer the phone, he throws the phone in the ocean.
Yep.
And everyone's like, what are you doing? And he's like, no, he's watching right now. Why am I going to give in to him?
Unless he even says that if this girl dies, you're an accessory to murder.
Right. Guys, so they go up to the psych office because they thought they saw somebody in there. Turns out the killer was there. He even left a picture of the waitress on the wall, gagged and tied up.
Yep.
And at this point, Sean loses it. And he's like, you guys, I'm done. This is too much. I don't want to be involved anymore. This guy's a psycho. And so you guys go solve it. I'm out. And that's when Lassiter says you're an accessory to murder if this girl dies.
No, but he said that at the boardwalk when he threw the phone.
I thought he said it as they were leaving the psych office.
No.
Okay, well. Lassiter, Julie, et.
So he's still on that trivia?
Yeah. So Lassiter, Juliet, and Mary, the profiler, mm-hmm. they leave, and Gus is about to be sympathetic, and Gus and Sean is like, "No, we're going to solve this thing. We're just going to do it without them, because we can do it under the radar and figure it out for ourselves." So they go back to the restaurant, and he remembers that the waitress that morning had referenced the fact that she drives a black Jeep, yep. and he saw that the Jeep wasn't in the parking lot anymore, and he says, "Gus, she totally drove. The kidnapper drove her away in her Jeep." And so he calls the police station or calls Juliet or somebody and says, look for a black Jeep. And Lassie says, oh, we've already found the Jeep.
Yep.
You need to get down here right now. And so they get to the scene and they manage to... Wait, we got this out of order. I'm just looking at my notes here. So that's right. I forgot a very key point. So, yeah, he says, I don't want to work on it anymore, and he's going to quit the investigation. So now we're back at the police station, and they get a fax from Yang, and the riddle implies that Yang knows that Sean has quit. And Lassie, who at the beginning was so quick to say, it's all about me. They want me to participate.
I think he just wants everything.
He wants everything to be about him. He says, this new riddle is directed at me. They know that I'm a Civil War buff, because there was a Civil War reference.
Yeah.
And at this point, Mary says, hey, have you guys seen North and South? Talk about Civil War buff, referencing Patrick Swayze, who is very beautiful in North and South. Mm-hmm. And I made you pause the episode so that I could write down that I wanted to talk about North and South. So uh-huh. North and South is a 1980s miniseries all about the Civil War. So remember back in the 70s, well, it's famous. You haven't seen it, but Roots was like a major... That was kind of the entry of miniseries. And for a good 10 or 15 years, miniseries were... Yes. So North and South was the big one in the 80s. It was all about the Civil War starring Patrick Swayze.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I remember from North and South...
Is Patrick Swayze?
Is Patrick Swayze blowing a snot rocket in a scene.
That's unfortunate.
But hilarious that they kept it in the broadcast. So we at some point, my friends Susie and Rachel, who has friends within high school,
mm-hmm.
we had VHS copies
of
North and South. And we would meet up after school and we would watch North and South. And so there was a scene where Patrick Swayze finds out some devastating news
uh-huh.
and starts crying. And on a close-up shot... blows a snot rocket right out of his nose. And we lost it. We thought that was the funniest thing. And I have looked for the footage on YouTube.
Can't find it.
I'm like, somebody out there has to have North and South and have noticed that he blows this snot rocket out of his nose when he cries. And I can't find it anywhere.
I'm sure if you ask Reddit, they'll be able to find it for you.
Somebody out there, please find that scene in North and South where Patrick Swayze is crying and goes one step too far. And the director didn't say, cut, let's try it again. He said, print it. That's method acting. So that's my North and South story.
Well, before we continue, I need you to know, like, about 5 minutes ago, for whatever reason.
Did you blow a star rocket?
No. I randomly thought, because I know whenever we were talking about, oh yeah, we need to record Psych again, all that kind of stuff, and you brought up the email that you got, you said something about pizzles for whatever reason.
You thought of pizzles?
Yeah, it just for whatever reason went in my head. I was like, wait, there was something she was saying about...
Yes, with, the pizzles.
Yeah.
So yeah, when Howard emailed me, he made a reference to a joke from many, many forever episodes ago. And I laughed as soon as I read it. He's like, put on some pizzles and watch an episode. And I tried to respond to him. And of course, stupid autocorrect changed it to pretzels. And I'm like, oh, I ruined my own joke because I tried to write pizzles. And so I, after we got the email, I said to you, I said, remember pizzles?
No, I did not.
Yeah, no, it was when we were trying to say pretzels.
I think that was you.
And pizza. And we said pizzles.
I don't remember this.
But thank you, Howard, for that awesome memory that made me laugh out loud.
And for whatever reason,
you just thought me of. All right, so once again, back to the show. So Gus and Sean, like I said, they were pretending. They went to the restaurant, realized the Jeep was gone. You got to look for the Jeep. And they, that's when they said, we've already found it. And so they race over there and they get into the hotel room, I guess is where it was, and find the girl tied up. She had a note in her mouth. So here's the thing.
Alrighty.
I don't know this from experience. I can only imagine.
Yep.
If you're going to stuff a piece of paper in my mouth and then gag me, the like, tight thing around me, so that I can't speak... Do you know how much saliva is going to be soaked up by that paper? And that thing was bone dry when they pulled it out of her mouth.
Listen, for all we know, she
might have just done it.
Yeah, just she's unconscious and like...
Her body is still producing saliva.
She could have only recently like just put an entire like towel in her mouth first. Get all the saliva, and then they get to the hotel, stuff the paper in there and escape.
Maybe, but yeah, that was gross. So there's a riddle again, something about if you're not going to play, let's pick something that's closer to home. And he finds his mom's purse in the other room.
Bum bum bum.
And realizes that Yang has decided to give up the waitress in favor of kidnapping Sean's mom.
Yep.
And now it's gotten personal. We're going to take another quick break so that I can... No, should we do it now or should we do it later?
Do it now.
All right. So I've been recommending K-dramas, Korean television shows.
Now, I know which one it's not. It's definitely not Healer.
Definitely not Healer. For all you K-drama fans out there, Healer is a classic. 2014, Ji Chang-wook. People love it.
Yep.
I thought it was hot garbage.
Now...
The only thing that was redeeming about it was Ji Chang-wook was pretty darn cute.
I had two different ones that I thought it might be.
Okay.
And if I can pull this back up real quick. So, my first thought of what it might be was Welcome to Samdari.
Also Ji Chang-wook.
The better other one than Healer. That I thought it was... My Demon was the other one I thought it might be.
Starring Song Kang? No. Neither. What I'm recommending is Cafe Minimdang, which is a psych... styled show.
Now, unfortunately, that one's not listed on here.
Not listed on my Letterboxd?
Not that I can see.
It should be.
I have it sorted by most recently added.
Not recently added. I added it forever ago. Finished. You should look at my diary.
This one?
No. You can see other people's diaries in Letterboxd, right?
Yes.
Yeah, if you go in there, you'll see when I just finished it. But I started it forever ago.
Yeah, here it is.
But Cafe Minimdang, it's on Netflix. It's 18 episodes, hour long each. And it's about a guy who plays that he's a shaman and solves crimes by being super intuitive. Does that sound familiar?
I wonder.
And so what he does is he owns a coffee shop and he acts as a religious shaman giving advice to people. But he's using a combination of a hacker. His sister is a hacker.
Yep.
And his own perceptions of how people behave and what they do.
I wonder who that reminds you of.
To make predictions that make people want to pay money for his services. So, but in the meantime, he's also solving crime. So a coworker of mine started watching watching Cafe Minimdang, I had only watched one episode, and she started it and blew through it. She loved it, mainly because she loves the main actor, Seo Yeon-gook. But she's like, you need to watch it. It's just like Psych, and I know you like Psych. So I finally finished it just a couple weeks ago, and it very much was like Psych. Thoroughly enjoyed it. It's got a little hint of romance, but that's not the focus. No, it's not the focus. But Seo Yeon-gook is a great actor. Thoroughly enjoyable. All the secondary characters were great. So look for Cafe Minimdang. Minamdang. It's on Netflix. It came out, I think, in 2022. So it's relatively recent. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
I was going to say, the little like bits and pieces that I saw while you were watching and I walked in, I enjoyed thoroughly.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge K-drama person in the first place. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who maybe want to try something different,
yeah,
and something similar to Psych, maybe try that one.
There you go. And that's my pitch. All right, so Sean has discovered, he's read the latest riddle about his mom being the next pick, and he realizes that they need to go to the drive-in theater.
Yep.
And so they get to the drive-in theater, and they start searching all the cars, trying to find Madeline's car rental. And Sean had just enough clues to be able to figure out that it was a blue rental car.
Yeah, he had seen like her keys earlier.
Yeah, the tag from the rental company that showed what kind of car it was. So he finds her and sees that there's like a red laser pointed at her head and her mouth is covered with tape. He takes the tape off and the mom was like, it's just a decoy. And he's like, I know it's a decoy. And then he sees in the popcorn bucket that there's a red light in there and that's where the actual bomb is. And so he looks around and he sees there's a car a couple lengths away and there's a woman sitting in the car and she holds up
a little detonator
remote control. So he goes over there and gets in the car. And it's none other than Ally Sheedy, who I had seen in the opening credits, like her name listed. Uh-huh. And then I forgot that she was in the episode. So then when she popped up, I was like, oh, that's right. She's in this. But she, in fact, is Mr. Yin Yang, or as Mr. she Yang. Says, I'm obviously not a man. And her motivation that she said was that she likes the game.
Yeah.
She likes to fake people out and do the riddles and everything, and
Sean's been the best at it.
Right. She's really impressed, and I can't wait to do this with you again. And he's like, what are you talking about? You're gonna rot in a cell. And she's like, am I really? She is kind of wacky.
Yeah, which I feel like you need to if you're gonna be a serial killer.
Yes,
be at least a little bit.
Yes,
interesting.
Well, I assume that she's gonna come back, because I don't think they would have hired such a big name,
yeah,
to be a bad guy if she wasn't going to reappear at some point. So I imagine we'll see her again. And then she talks about how, you know, no, I'm not going away because I'm going to write a book and I'm going to have you write the foreword.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't think so. And so they take her away. Sean gets the detonator from her because she kind of surrenders.
Yeah. So that's what I was confused about, because through the entire episode, Sean is also still talking to Abigail about their date. And so she brings this up when she hands over the detonator, like, think about it while you're on your date. And it's like, even at the end of the episode, they don't really say anything about it. And like, he's like dealing with it, but they don't really have a specific like conclusion to that.
Yeah, it was strange. I mean, you see her get put in the cop car.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he goes, buys popcorn for the date.
Yeah.
It was very strange. Very strange ending. Kind of a fast ending. And here's how the episode ended. So he talks to Abigail and was like, hey, you know, meet me at the movies. Let's go to the movies.
Yeah.
And she shows up. She's like, did you really solve a murder tonight or solve a case?
Did you really
Mr. Yang. Because she hadn't believed him the whole time that every time he talked to her on the phone and thought she was being abandoned. So he goes in to buy popcorn and drinks and Juliet comes walking in.
Yep.
And this is when she decides she's going to profess her interest in him.
Yes.
And he's like, you have really sucky timing because...
Literally the worst.
I'm literally on a date right now. And she's like, you are? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, okay, we'll go get her. Weirdest scene. Now, it could be that there was some buildup over the past few episodes that I have forgotten about.
Yeah.
Because it's been so long since we've watched the show. But it seemed disingenuous to me to have her suddenly out of the blue. Because there was nothing in the episode that made her seem like she's thinking now's the time.
The closest that I think was when Sean in the psych office was telling them all, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, they had given each other a weird, like, glance at some point. So all I can think is that there were some other scenes that they wanted to have throughout the episode that ended up having to get cut.
Maybe.
But even then, I do agree that it was very weirdly placed.
Yeah.
But it's also been a while since we've watched the other episodes of the season. Yeah, so
maybe she's hinted in previous episodes, but I don't remember her previously hinting. So it just felt weird for her to all of a sudden come out and say, I'm interested in you. I'm asking you out on a date.
I'm trying to remember if the first time I watched this episode, I also was like, what? But I don't remember.
But the highlight was the candy that he bought.
the highlight, the candy.
He bought Necco wafers, which I love.
Yes.
And he bought Toblerone. Which I also love. I love both of those. If I was on a date with Sean and he came out with those two candies, I'd be like, let's get married right now.
You can be like the waitress.
Because you are obviously my soulmate, that you know that I would eat Necco wafers and Toblerones all day long.
Yep.
I love that. So he and Abigail start their date. They get in the blueberry. And Gus is in the back seat.
Because it's a company car.
Because it's company car. Sean and Gus do everything together. Why not go on a date with Abigail together?
Well, Gus doesn't want popcorn all over his car.
No. But he does want the Necco wafers.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. And that basically is the end of the episode.
And the end of the season.
And the end of season 3. And I vaguely remember parts of this episode. Certainly not the whole thing.
Yeah.
I feel like season 4 is when we get to where I don't know what's coming.
Uh-huh.
I think I only watched a few episodes of season 4. I have no recollection whatsoever.
Yeah, I know that you definitely watched the beginning a lot with me, but once I picked up pace and was like, oh yeah. I'm like into this show, I didn't care if you were there or not. I was going to watch it anyways.
You left me behind. So season 4, I suspect a lot of this is going to be new for me.
Yeah. For sure. And I definitely think because I forget if I tried to rewatch Psych at some point or what, but I definitely think that this is around the time that I also like will stop remembering a lot. Like, there's definitely certain episodes and things that I like will know just because of how like vividly I enjoyed those episodes.
Right.
Like when we finished the episode and we're looking at the description for the first episode of the next season, the description, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this episode. Yeah. So there's definitely certain ones that I will be able to remember, but I also think that this is when we'll get to the point where I'm like, what was that? Like, I won't remember as much.
Right. So did you see the pineapple?
I was not looking for one, if I'll be honest.
It was on Abigail's desk when he called her when she was in her classroom. Mm. There's a pineapple there. He made a couple Goodwill Hunting references.
I got one. I heard one of them. I didn't hear the other ones.
Was it the How About Them Apples?
No.
Thanks, Will Hunting?
It was something at the beginning about Will Hunting.
Yeah. So the first one was when they were at the restaurant. And it was almost the same time that he made the Okay Hitch joke.
Yeah, before he called that's Abigail. The one that I got.
He also made a Will Hunting joke then. He said the How About Them Apples when he was talking to his mom. So there were two good Will Hunting references at least.
Any My Dinner with Andre references, or was it just the title?
When Henry went to see Sean and said, don't take this case, when Sean walked back in, he's like, oh, it was my dad who's just returning my Zodiac DVD.
Yes.
Zodiac is a very famous movie about a very famous serial killer from
with Robert Downey Jr.
the 1970s. I just remember it as being John Leguizamo.
I don't remember. I've definitely watched that movie. I just forget who's in it.
Well, it turns out Jimmy Simpson, who plays our police profiler, he was in Zodiac.
Oh, look at that.
So there you go. There's a connection there to that. But that's all I have for my notes. That last one I looked up on IMDb for Jimmy. I almost said Jimmy Neutron.
For Jimmy Simpson. Was wrong. It was a different Marvel actor. It was Mark Ruffalo.
Yes.
And then also, I'm going to say his name wrong probably. Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yes.
Okay. And every time I look at his name, I'm like, I'm going to say that wrong somehow.
And it was John Leguizamo, right? Isn't he in that?
Wait, Robert Downey Jr. is in this movie as well.
I didn't say he wasn't. I just said
no,
the actor.
I thought he wasn't.
Oh.
Who'd you say?
John Leguizamo. Am I thinking of the right Sailor Color movie?
Are you?
I don't know.
I mean, if he is, he's listed pretty far back.
He might be because it was early in his career. I must be thinking of a different...
Yeah, I mean, there's...
I'll put in the show notes when I figure
out... Unless you're thinking about the 2014 version. Well, maybe. I don't even know if that's... No, this is not the same movie. It's also called Zodiac, but it's not the same. Anyways.
That's our episode, everybody. We're pre-edit, we're at 54 minutes, which is kind of on par with what we're usually... By the time I edit, we'll probably get down to 50 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the episodes are like, 45 anyways?
Yeah.
So you have at least 45 minutes.
There you go. So thank you, everybody. I want to give our shout-outs to our regular emailers. First of all, as you know, Howard. We got to thank Howard for encouraging us to do a new episode. But we're going to start with Fred, who is numero uno. He's the very first person that ever emailed us. Carol, Erica, Elizabeth, Tanya, Kathy, Fanny, Howard, and Renee. We're grateful that you listened to us.
It was either 9 or 10. I might have counted Howard twice.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. If you want to be number 10, email us at psyqoutpodcast@gmail.com. We are not on social media.
Even though we technically have a Twitter.
We have it, but we're not active at all. We will try and be back soon with season 4, episode 1.
We'll see when I don't have work.
That's right. No promises. But we are grateful for you, and we thank you for listening, and we hope you have
a wonderful
great
day, night, afternoon,
week, month, year.
Hopefully it's a good year. Okay. You never know.
All right. We'll see you later.
Bye. Woo.